Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. I am your host as always. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about TJ Leaf, what he means for the future of the Pacers, discuss some Paul George trade rumors, and of course, with free agency only a few days away, talk a little bit more about that, what it means for Jeff Teague, and any more signings the Pacers could make this offseason. For now, I wanted to just tease out our network real quick. As you know, the Locked On Podcast Network is an NBA NFL network channel. You can basically listen to anything you want on any one of your teams across the NBA and NFL. You can find all this stuff on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcast. I don't think we're on SoundCloud, but we are on iTunes, of course, and Stitcher for your Android devices. Also, I'm a writer on the IndyCornrows.com. So I just recently wrote an article about TJ Leaf. If you want to check that out, go to IndyCornrows.com. That's IndyCornrows.com. Also, to follow me, get some insight on the Pacers. I'm not a very interesting follow, I think, but sometimes pretty clever. Go follow me on Twitter at FriedmanAdam5. FriedmanAdam5, that's my Twitter handle. But for now, I am going to be doing this podcast solo today. I hope you enjoy it. You know, I enjoy our listeners out there, so let's get right to it.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I wanted to open today's podcast talking about Paul George. As always with Indiana Pacers right now, everything revolves basically around what the Pacers will do with Paul George. As some of us Pacer fans on the inside know, this week there's been a couple of major rumors surrounding Paul George. The first one is the Denver to Cleveland three-team trade. And the other one is, of course, Boston wanting to sign both Hayward and trade for George this offseason as their number one plan. I want to discuss the Boston-Hayward deal. I wrote about it a couple weeks ago on IndyCornrows.com. I think, at the end of the day, this is the best chance the Pacers have to get an offer, a good offer. So, Boston, as we know, wants to sign Gordon Hayward. That's been pretty well known in the media. That's been a pretty publicized fact. Boston wants to reunite Gordon Hayward with his college head coach, Brad Stevens. As Indianapolis natives, we all know who Brad Stevens is, former Butler coach. So, if Boston is able to do that, it kind of skews their timeline. So what I mean by that is right now, Boston's on this. We might not be good next. I mean, they'll be good, but we might not be a championship contender, let's say, next year, right? Boston's kind of got a young team still. They just drafted Jason Tatum. They got another young player in Jaylen Brown. They've got some veterans in Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, and Al Horford. But the way Danny Ainge has been building this team right now, it's just accumulating draft picks for the future, so they're good in 4 or 5 years, the post-LeBron, maybe even the post-Warriors era. But if they sign Gordon Hayward, that could force Ainge to kind of shift that timeline. The only reason he would shift that is if he thinks his team can win the Eastern Conference, which I think if they add Paul George, Boston is certainly a threat to take the Eastern Conference. They certainly are. You can't say anybody's going to beat LeBron for sure because it's LeBron James, but if they get Hayward and George, added that to Isaiah Thomas and then to Al Horford, that's a pretty good team right there. That's 4 All-Stars. Basically, Horford was only been All-Star 1 or 2 times, but that's 4 All-Stars on a roster competing against LeBron, who's going to have 3 All-Stars, 2.5. I don't know where you sit Kevin Love at this point. So that's a beatable team. Now, in a trade like this, it's going to involve Boston kind of decimating some of their core players, I guess. Not necessarily players they need, but some of their lower veteran cores. The reason Boston will have to do this is because of salary cap issues. So if Boston signed Hayward to this $30 million a year contract, they'll eat up all their cap space, so they'll need to match Georgia's contract for at least next season. So some trade with Boston would probably involve the combination of Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart, and maybe Jason Tatum this year's pick, and next year's Brooklyn. My guess is if the Pacers are going to get rid of Paul George, they're going to need some kind of future asset. Maybe Boston gives up the next year's Lakers pick they got in the trade for Markelle Fultz. Who knows? But something like that would make sense. Obviously, the salaries really match if you do Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, and Jason Tatum. Those salaries match straight up. That's about $18 million in salaries. Paul George makes about $17.8 million, I think, at this point for next season. So that would make sense that they could do that. I know Boston fans are screaming right now, why would we decimate our core to go get George for one season, whatever. But I think Danny Ainge thinks if he can get George into the Boston locker room, he can kind of build around him and say, hey, we'll be Eastern Conference Finals next season, maybe make the NBA Finals, but we're team building for the future in, you know, the next four seasons of a Isaiah Thomas, like I said, Isaiah Thomas, Hayward, George, Horford quartet could be a championship level team. You know, you never know. Obviously, I still think Golden State's always the best team in the league, but you don't know what happens in the league. People get hurt, whatever. But that team certainly is good enough to beat LeBron James. Now, the other question is this: what's going on with this Denver-Cleveland Pacer trade? So I think Cleveland has shown a desire right now to get rid of Kevin Love. Now, we don't know who's running the Cavs right now because GM David Griffin left last week earlier, and they're supposed to hire Chauncey Billups, but people don't know if he's going to take the job or not. There's a lot of, you know, interesting things going on there. Brian Windsor, Horse, gave a great little tidbit about how Billups and his thoughts on that. I recommend going listening to it. It was really great. But if that kind of trade could happen, I don't know whether the Pacers would take a Denver trade or a Boston trade. So the Denver trade would probably include Gary Harris, Emmanuel Mudiay, and maybe it was going to involve Wilson Chandler, Kenneth Reed, one of those contracts with lots of money, and then Emmanuel Mudiay or Gary Harris, and then probably this year's pick, Malik Beasley. That matches. Again, you have to match the salaries up. Luckily, Kevin Love and PG make about the same amount of money, so there isn't really an issue there. It's Denver giving over the money up to the Pacers, kind of matching those contracts. So that would be an interesting trade for the Pacers, only because it gives them a bunch of young, kind of, I wouldn't say superstar players, but quality rotation guys that you don't usually get this quickly. Remember, to build in the draft, it takes years, 4 or 5 years, to get kind of 4 or 5 guys that can just play off your bench. You know, guys that start around your stars and come off the bench. Basically, by getting rid of George, the Pacers could do this all in one scoop. They would end up getting, you know, Moody at point guard, let's say Harris at a shooting guard, and Chandler off the bench. That's an ideal trade, right? They get that, and they could pair that with Miles Turner, TJ Leaf, something like that, and that would be a pretty formidable team. I'm not sure that team goes anywhere in the future, but it's a 40-win team, maybe 41 wins, but that was enough to make the 8th seed in the East. You know, it'd be interesting to see, especially depending on how Turner develops. It could be really interesting because I think Turner could make another second to third year leap, the kind of Paul George did, and maybe Turner becomes kind of a dynamic offensive player. He's really good around the glass. Turner is just a pretty good defensive player, and so you could see that happening. Now, obviously, looming large in all this trade talk is the Los Angeles Lakers. So there's Boston here, there's Cleveland, Denver here, and then there's kind of LA out there who's just watching the whole thing. Because I believe at the end of the day, LA could probably top any offer that Boston or Cleveland make because they know they can get Paul George long term. They know they have that commitment, sort of. What I mean by that is Boston probably has the best assets to offer for George, but I'm not sure they're willing. They know they don't have a full commitment from George, so they don't give up all their assets for him. They won't give a little bit, take a chance, but LA would be willing maybe to give up a huge asset. So let's say LA looks at Boston, Denver, Cleveland trade, thinks we can't let him go to Cleveland, we can't let him go to Boston pretty much, because if Paul George does, he might stay there and never come to LA and screw up Los Angeles Lakers' future plans. So LA could come in and say, hey, we'll offer you Brandon Ingram for Paul George straight up. Something like that, right? That trade is actually a pretty interesting trade because I think straight up the Pacers might take that trade. They might have to take on some kind of contract or Julius Randle in some kind of way, but if Brandon Ingram or Lonzo Ball is available on the Lakers, I think the Pacers immediately take one of those guys over anybody the Celtics can offer, except maybe Jason Tatum. That's the only one I can see there. But the Lakers could come in and offer that kind of assets, and boom, Pacers take it right away. So, you know, and the whole thing right now is to wonder where LA kind of views themselves. Are they really, really want George? I think they do. Matic has shown his desire for George. So I think they're kind of this, you know, like a circling hawk almost. They're kind of waiting, watching, waiting for what happens on the ground. And once they see something happen on the ground, boom, they swoop in and take what they need. So I would look for LA to kind of come into discussions later on. you know, as stuff starts to heat up later on in the week as free agency begins and Hayward makes his signings. So, you know, I don't want to recap it again, but basically, Boston can offer the best offer, but might not be willing to give up the most. Cleveland, Denver is an interesting offer. I don't know if it's great or anything. And the Lakers can probably give the best offer of the most assets for George. It really just depends what's going on. We're going to take a quick break, but after the break, I'm going to discuss the NBA draft, which was just last week, and talk a little bit about TJ Leaf. TJ Leaf is obviously this high potential power forward at a UCLA, and I don't know, I'm pretty interested in what he can do for the Pacers. The pick really interests me, so you can hear more about that after the break. The presenting sponsor of the Locked On Pacers podcast is SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the number one ticketing site for sports, concerts, and more. Now, I want to tell you a story about my experience with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is a great website. So one afternoon, I decided, you know what? I came home from school. I've been home for 2 days. Like, I want to go to a Pacer game. Decided, looked up Pacers, Wizards, this and that, whatever. Looked it up online, looking at prices, whatever. It was like $23. I found $23 tickets, first level, corner, great view. I saw everything great. It was great. So I go to this game, you know, one of the best games I've been to all year. Actually, if you go back to it, Pacer fans, it was like a buzzer beater. Thad Young hit this floater with his left hand that he shouldn't have hit. It was great back and forth game. But I have to say, the experience with SeatGeek was just great. It was easy, got it on my phone, one click, no fees, no whatever. Just told me the price, $23 tickets, boom. Bought them, took me maybe 5 minutes total. Get an email, sent to my phone right away, no printing, no nothing, boom, I got in the gate. Great game. So SeatGeek is a great site. I enjoy it. I like using it for all kinds of things I go to. I'll probably use it to buy Red Sticks this summer, take my dad to a game, something like that. So SeatGeek is my favorite site to use, so you guys should use it too. Use the promo code LOPACERS and get a $10 discount off your first purchase. That's if you use the promo code LOPACERS. Remember, SeatGeek is the number one ticket aggregating site around. Welcome back into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am your host of the Locked On Pacers podcast. So, it's now been, well, according to my watch, 5 days since the NBA draft, and the Pacers, of course, took TJ Leaf. Didn't make any moves with Paul George, but took TJ Leaf with the 18th overall pick. Now, you know, back in late May, maybe even early April, TJ Leaf was the guy that was projected to go to the Pacers. He's a power forward at UCLA. He's kind of thin. That's understandable. He's really thin. He's a really thin guy, but he's 19, so I wouldn't worry about that. But he's a thin, kind of offensive, high potential kind of guy. Defensively, you don't know. He's very skinny at this point, but. So I wrote an article for IndyCornrows.com talking about TJ Leaf and all his upsides, what he means for the Patriots in the future and stuff like that. So I encourage you to go check that out at IndyCornrows.com. You know, I thought it was good. I wrote it, so who knows. But TJ Leaf, in my opinion, has an extremely high offensive potential. So I know, Pacer fans, we've played defense. We've been a defensive team forever. But let's just ignore defense for today. Let's just focus on Leaf's offensive potential, all right? I want you to just forget about defense. Let's not worry about it. So what I see with Leaf is I see a couple of things. One, I see the modern stretch four, kind of a power forward who can stretch the court, shoot threes, and dribble the ball up the court, kind of the way Draymond Green can in a sense. That kind of guy gets the rebound, takes up the court. But I also see a guy who's really, really good at finishing around the rim. You watch him at UCLA. Obviously, he was playing with a great point guard in Lonzo Ball, so he got some good looks always. But around the rim, TJ Leaf has got great feel. He's not one of these clunky big men who kind of doesn't know what to do, hesitates at the rim. You know, Tristan Thompson, like, basically can't shoot either of his hands. He's really great when he comes around the rim. He can put back layups. He can get little floaters in the lane, all kinds of things, which is really going to translate well in the NBA because as a kind of a faster power forward, he'll be able to take advantage of some of the bigger power forwards in the league. And he'll be especially useful because he can stretch the floor with a three-point shot. So what I really see is kind of you place him next to Miles Turner and you kind of get this stretch four, stretch five, and then I don't know who the point guard, the shooting guard, the small forward will be, but kind of this future potential of almost 5 3-point shooters, which would be really interesting because that's kind of where the league is going, but there also aren't a lot of teams that start five guys that can all shoot threes. You know, there's not many stretch five centers. I mean, even go to Golden State, you look at them, they started Zaza Pachulia and JaVale McGee were their main starters on that team. Neither of those guys are really three-point threats. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do, what kind of offense they can build. I think next year Turner's going to take a big step in the offensive game. He's going to be kind of the focal point. He's the best offensive player. So maybe a lineup, you know, next year spitballing, the lineup probably looks like Stevenson. I don't know who plays shooting guard. Monte Ellis maybe at this point. I don't know if they're trying to get rid of him, what they're going to try to do. And then you put Glenn Robinson in the small forward position. You probably don't start Lee. You probably start Young. But you bring Leaf and Turner together. You try some lineups like that that just are kind of unique, because if you have both a power forward and a center who can dribble the ball and shoot deep threes and shoot deep jumpers, the whole court becomes just completely spread out and becomes really a dynamic offense that could be high potential for scoring, like 110 points a game type of offense. Now, obviously, there are some downsides to Leaf. It's going to take a while for him to get used to the league. I mean, he's 19 years old. He wasn't a top five pick, so he's not quite developed, obviously. He needs to put on a lot of muscle, but he'll be out of college. So, you know, when you're out of college life, sometimes you're able to put on muscle because you're in the NBA. You're getting paid to work out, basically, and with personal trainers nonstop. I mean, great story is Draymond Green was basically like this kind of pudgy fat kid in college, because when you're in college, you eat like crap. You don't go work out all the time. You just sort of play basketball. But when you come into the league, all of a sudden, you're working out every day. There's personal trainers tracking everything you eat, on these diets, whatever you are, putting on kinds of muscle. So, you know, I think in 2 years from now, maybe you see Turner at this next level, kind of offensive player, at you kind of think with a stretch five, and then you add Leaf into that, you know, pretty good three-point shooter, kind of like that, and then you add in whoever they bring in over the next few years, either in the draft or in free agency. So, to sum it all up, basically, I know people are kind of iffy on Leaf right now, and we don't really know what to expect of them, but I think we'll see right away his ability to score, and then we have to just hopefully see over the next couple of years him to put on the muscle and the ability kind of to play the power forward position on the defensive side, you know, some quickness things we'll have to work on. But I think he's really got potential to be a really, really good power forward in this league, especially where the league is going, because of his ability to shoot. He is a fantastic shooter, the way I saw him in college. I watched a couple of his games over the, you know, I watched NCAA tournament games. I've been watching him on YouTube for a while. He's just really good when it comes to the offensive end of the floor. I mean, he understands things that I'm not sure even some of the NBA players understand, how to take advantage of players. I mean, remember Jan Mahimi. Jan Mahimi, like, didn't know how to get to the rim on the offensive glass or get anywhere on the offensive side. This guy will come in the league and he'll know how to score. He'll know his spots. It's just whether he can get on the size to take advantage of those players, because if he stays as small as he is, he's going to get bullied around. But, you know, it's something to look at, because especially if he puts on muscle, he'll be able to guard kind of a small forward position type of guys when they play stretch four. So interesting to see what he can turn into. I'm excited for David Leaf. I think he could be a really interesting offensive player. Defense, who knows, but I think right now you don't worry about that, because let's just have an interesting Pacer team for now. I mean, I think we're going to be a mediocre team the next few years, so let's just be interesting. When I come back from this next commercial break, I'm going to deep dive into the free agency market for the Pacers. I'm going to tell you something right now. It looks bleak. Stay tuned after the break. Welcome back in to Locked On Pacers podcast. So the free agency season is kind of doled out on the Pacers. Obviously, Paul George kind of ruined any shot the Pacers have of getting any big name free agent like Gordon Hayward, but also kind of took the knees out of them going after some even mid-level free agent. I know before the Paul George thing broke, there was a rumor that Pacers would go after maybe Danilo Gallinari or Justin Holiday. Or Drew Holiday, my bad, not Justin Holiday's brother. Drew Holiday, those type of players. So it seems like for now, they're probably going to stay cold on the market. I could see them maybe bringing back CJ Miles. You know, it depends what the Pacers want to do. I think they might be in a rebuilding mode. Because if they're in a rebuilding mode, I expect them to bring back nobody, sign nobody, try to spend as little money as possible, try to lose a bunch of games next year and whatever. But if, you know, they get a decent trade for George, maybe they take the Boston offer early in the podcast and they end up with Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder. I don't think those guys are going to be on a losing team. Those guys are pretty good locker room guys. So maybe they decide, hey, we're going to run it back. Let's bring back Jeff Teague. Let's bring back CJ Miles. So let's talk about Jeff Teague for just a little bit. So Jeff Teague, in the recent ESPN rankings, was ranked basically the 10th best free agent available. Jeff Teague is basically what you would call the mediocre point guard, right? He's just like the very, you know, probably the between 15 and maybe 14 and 17th best point guard in the league, which means he's not bad. He can score, you know, put up 16, 17 points a game, 8 or 9 assists a game, but doesn't wow you on defense, doesn't wow you on the offensive end, just kind of does things. But he's probably going to get an offer for close to $100 million. I think it might be somewhere in the range of probably 22 to 25 a year. Now, Jeff Teague might take a discount to be in his hometown. So maybe he can get it for like 18 a year. But if the Patriots want to rebuild, Jeff Teague isn't in their plans for rebuilding. You know, I feel bad for the guy because I think he was brought in this idea that he will go with Paul George and they'll kind of build this team and it'll be kind of this great team for the future, and he kind of left out and he'll become the, you know, the Indiana hero that George Hill never became. But at the end of the day, even if he doesn't resign with the Pacers, Jeff Teague will find somewhere and make a lot of money, so I'm not too worried about him. But if they want to win, they, you know, that's a sign. You know, we have to see how much the Pacers are going to be committed to winning next year. I don't think they're going to try to win a championship. I don't think they have the roster to win a championship. But if they're committed to trying to make the playoffs, signing Jeff Teague is the first sign, and then bringing back Miles Turner is the second. Because you could probably get Miles Turner for about $12 to $15 million a year. A little bit older, you know, but you get him for maybe on a 3 or 4 year deal. It's a pretty good deal for a guy like him. Let's say you get him for four for 52. That's how much Solomon Hill made last year, and Solomon Hill is not even a third of the player CJ Miles is. Because CJ Miles can fit in anywhere from shooting guard to power forward at times, and he plays defense and he tries hard. Obviously, he's a little injury prone, but he's a good locker room guy, interesting like that. So interesting to see if they bring back those two guys. Because if they bring back those two guys, they might be trying to actually win next year versus just rebuilding. So, talking about next year just a little bit as we deep into the free agency talk, I think there's some of this what's called, I think it's called the Ewing theory. Basically, this theory that when you remove the best player from the team, they play better. I think there's a potential for that with the Patriots next year. Two of the reasons it could be for that reason is because of Glenn Robinson and Miles Turner, who both could improve a lot over the offseason. They're both very young guys that could make the team a little bit better. That'd be interesting to see. But also, I think, I'm not sure Paul George was this great locker room guy. I think he's a great player, and I think he says some of the right things in the media. But once David West and Roy Hibbert left, the locker room has always had this void, it seemed like. I know Paul George got hurt, so that kind of created it. But it seemed like David West and Roy Hibbert were kind of the pillars in the locker room. When they both left, a void opened up, and Paul George kind of didn't fill it the way some of us Pacers fans would have liked. You know, I think Paul George is a great player, but like at times last year, he wasn't trying that hard. I don't want to call a man out on that kind of thing, but who knows? I do think he's a great player, and wherever he goes next, he'll be successful because he's very talented, and when he plays defense, he is one of the best two-way players in the league. Kawhi Leonard-level two-way player, great. So right now, I still think a lot of it's up in the air with the Pacers. We really have no idea what's going to go on with them. It could be an interesting 3 or 4 days, you know, to a week or two. I hope Paul George is traded in the next few weeks, but I think Kevin Pritchard is going to just kind of hold back and say, hey, looking for the best offer, and he's not going to try to just panic into a trade. I think it'll be interesting to see if Paul George is brought back next season, because I think he'll get booed like every night, but I don't think they're going to do that to him, because I think that's just not a nice thing. I think Paul George has done a lot of good things for the team, and they have a somewhat good working relationship that they should do Paul George right, and Paul George should do the Pacers right in the same kind of sense. So we'll see what happens. You know, I'll do as many of these podcasts as I need to. My guess is if Paul George is traded, I'll obviously do an emergency podcast. If not, we can talk about free agency and other stuff with the Pacers. But stay tuned for more of these. I'll come to you probably once a week till basically the end of the summer. I might take a couple weeks off once the whole free agency settles down. But for now, I'm doing a podcast once a week, and you can enjoy it on the Locked On Pacers Podcast Network. Thank you to SeatGeek, our presenting sponsor. And everybody, hopefully have a great morning drive listening to this, great afternoon, whatever you're doing. Have a great rest of your day.